thank you so much for downloading our little podcast from Italy on a cold, frozen 13th of November. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao tutti.
My name is Jason. Together we run, own, operate, and are currently sitting here in front of four cats, La Tavola Marche, a agriturismo farm and cooking school here in beautiful Pioico, Italia. Today is the first hard frost.
It is. And yesterday was the first wintry snowy mix. It was, oh by golly, holly jolly. However, in Piobico, it was snowing, and on the tops of the hills, there was snow on the fields, but nothing like I saw in Cagliari. Oh my gosh, just, I don't know, give the listeners an idea how far Cagliari is. It's just on the other side of Monte Nerone.
As the crow flies, not far at all, but by car, maybe 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
But it's really not that far at all.
It's just on the other side of Nerone.
So the other side of the mountain that looms above Piobico just got hammered with snow. That was totally unexpected.
The weather service has not done a good job of predicting the weather in the last couple of weeks here in our little part of Italy.
No, but we knew if you could, read the words on the streets, if you could feel the vibe, Jason noticed the salt trucks all moving around a few days ago, and yet there was no talk of snow or anything like that. But he was like, I think they know something we don't, because they're moving, and sure enough, they needed it. But I love it.
So first frost this year was the 10th of November, and we woke up to frost on the windshields, not really crunchy grass.
No, this is the first crunchy grass.
This is crunchy grass. This is a proper frost this morning. Yesterday, the snow. Well, yeah, we got snow.
Because what time is it right now?
It's 7:30, 7:59.
It's still early, but it's still totally hard frost outside. We got hard frost, black mold.
So yesterday, yeah, it snowed. But then the slushy mix turned to rain by noon, and nothing stuck.
No, but with the air changing, it means the classy plastic must be hung, and 99% of it is done.
Our house is very old and very drafty. It's
like
incredible.
Really drafty.
We had warm, a couple weeks ago, we had warm wind out of the south, and we put the plastic up for that, and you could just see, the plastic just
move.
Push. So I went around and redid all the around the windows and doors with the little, what do you call it? What's the little stuff you put around? It's like the
foam
rubber, or sometimes plasticky insulation.
Yeah.
But it's not
strips.
It's not that. The doors and windows are handmade, so you can see through the door.
Or like under the window where the stone and the wood meet.
Yeah, so that's hard. So under the at the bottom of the doors, yeah, you put the little strip things down and that helps. But the door itself,
like the seams of the door.
The seams of the door. Mm-hmm. They're old. They're made by hand. They need to be tightened
up. Oh, the freaking
up.
Front door is horrible.
You can actually see daylight through the front door. It's bad. Like through the door itself and different where the panels meet up. It's awesome. The hunting has been terrible this year.
Oh, yeah. Gaji's pissed.
Gaji bitches every day that when the days that the weather isn't bad, the fog is really bad. And then we've had a lot of bad weather the last, five, 6 days. So he hasn't been shooting much. He's he's very surly.
Yes.
Yesterday
he's got
morning.
Nothing to do. He's ornery. Oh my gosh. I what was hysterical was last weekend. Gaji had nothing to do. It was a pouring rainy Saturday, and Jason stupidly calls him to say, "Good morning, Capo. What's up?" And Gaji says, "What are you doing?" Jason says, "I'm going to the grocery store." He goes, "I'm coming with you. Come pick me up."
That's right. I forgot about this. This was great. So for those new listeners, Gaji, the doctor, is our Italian adopted papa. He's the one who – we might own this place, but he runs it. He
in his mind.
Yeah. So, I call him up and just to make fun of him, because it was a crappy, rainy, horrible morning. And I said, "How's the hunting going?" And he goes, "This is like 7:10 in the morning." And he goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm going to go over the hill and get groceries and all that. I'm coming with you. So I go and pick him up, and it's like, really? You want to go with me grocery shopping? Yeah.
And you said he's all dressed up.
He's all dressed up. He looks really nice and dapper, and we go have a coffee and go to the butcher and go to the fruit and vegetable stand and go to the grocery store, and he meets all my ladies. He meets the butcher, all the people, and he was proud papa.
And it was hysterical because I asked him afterwards, later that afternoon or the next day when I saw him, I said, how was it going? He goes, exactly how I pictured it. Oh, Chow Jason, everyone calling each other by name and Jason chatting it up. You could tell he was proud, but it was also just hysterical because it was exactly what he imagined. He loved it.
So that was really fun. God.
And Gotchi doesn't go grocery shopping.
No, Gotchi buys two things. Beers and
potato chips
and what else? He'll come up with random stuff. Bread.
Make
he goes
it clear.
And gets bread.
He's not Gotchi has a taste for some of the finer things or like certain wines and things. When it comes to beer, it is not Colesi or artisanal beer. He prefers strong.
It's just called strong beer. And it's like 80 cents a can, and it tastes like shit.
It's like a 40.
It's like, it tastes like malt liquor, kind
like
of.
Like Mickey's. It's hysterical.
It's like, oh, look, yeah. 10%.
That's a real man.
Hey, oh, my God. Chicha.
Cats going crazy. Hold on. Think we realized why our internet goes out, because the cats try to sleep on top of the cords. When they have so much room and space in the rest of this place, we have no idea why that is their spot of choice. So we've been trying to put up some boxes around it, and they're conspiring to find a way around it. Cunning cats.
It's just the fat one.
It's just Chicha?
Yep. She's the one who, she just hopped the fence and trying to make a break for it.
So, also with the snow coming, I don't know if we've talked about it, but we've done our driving schools lessons, and it is obligatory.
15th of November.
Yes.
You must have winter tires, four-wheel drive, or chains of Bordeaux.
Yes. So if you're visiting the area and renting a car, keep that in mind.
Yeah, make sure you have winter tires on.
And because there could be passing storms, just like the one that was in Cali, totally unexpected. And they will, certain roads, like up to Urbino and stuff, when there is snow, there's a cop there making sure you've got your chains to go up.
Or your snow tires. Mm-hmm. Or your winter tires.
Just a little travel tip.
Oh, speaking of winter tires, so I got the tires changed myself, and I go to get the alignment adjusted. They call it convergenza, but the front wheels to make sure they're straight and true, and because when we hit the bumps going 50 kilometers an hour down our road,
that doesn't happen often, does it?
Sometimes, it's hysterical. Every time I go to get the tires swapped out, the guy has to bang the rims, the wheels straight again.
I don't know if I'd call that hysterical. I would call it percoloso.
So anyway, I go to get it done, and he's like, "Yeah, I can't do it because there's too much play in your steering system." So here begins the end of our car. Now we get to start
our sweet little red.
It's got 200,000. Listen,
she goes.
I'll give it to Hyundai.
She chooches
a little, super cheap car with a 1.1 liter engine. I got 205,000 hard kilometers out of it.
Didn't we pay like $8,000 for that
with
car?
With tax. Brand new. $8,000 with tax.
But we did not spring for air conditioning.
No. That's why it was $8,000 with tax.
Oh, my God.
But, thank you. Thank you, little Hyundai. But she's beginning to need. It's
show signs.
Yeah, it's going to be the beginning of the end. It's just going to be one thing after another every month, month and a half.
This weather we've been having does not help our road at all. From the, wading through the bridge that's seeming to be flooded. It's just crazy.
A lot going on locally here right now. There's talk of the town. They are redoing how they okay, are you guys on? If you're not on the edge of your seat, please move forward to it. Piobico, Urbana, Sant'Angelo are redoing how they do garbage pickup. Dun, dun, dun! No, it's really weird. Okay, so one day they come through and pick up all at the end of the roads and places in town, like all over the place. There's big garbage canisters, recycling, the three recycling and regular all waste.
Like the big ones.
Like the big ones that the truck
comes.
Like
a dumpster.
Yeah, yeah. And you pay your garbage tax and you can just throw them in anyone. It doesn't matter if you're from Piobico and you go over to Urbana and throw it there. You paid your garbage tax. Well, now they're doing it differently. They're still leaving the recycling, but now everyone gets their own multi-purpose waste, like garbage thing. And we never got one. Everyone else on the road has one.
And it was really weird. I swear to God, we drove into town, did shopping in Urbana, and came back, and they had swapped things out. Because it was like, wait a second. Those garbage cans, I swear to God, were not there when we left. We would have totally noticed them. The tiniest little houses along our road, there's only about a dozen houses, all have garbage cans. And then we don't.
Okay, so here's why we're screwed.
Where the hell are we putting our garbage?
Here's the problem. There's five different villages or comunes on our road. So we are a part of the one that's on the other side of the hill, Sant'Angelo in Vado, which hasn't done this yet.
No, they haven't made the transition.
They haven't made the transition. So we can go to Sant'Angelo and they still have the big dumpster for multi-purpose garbage. However, Urbana and Piobico, where we really live, has all done this. And the direction we drive. So if we go to the two town councils and say, well, where's ours? They're going to be like, well, talk to your town council. It's not our problem. And if we go to their Sant'Angelo, they're going to say, well, just
piano,
throw your
piano, slowly, slowly. We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, they're going to say, well, you can throw your garbage in any of the canisters located throughout Sant'Angelo. Please feel free. And our response will be, well, that's not convenient for us.
Gaji's response was just every day drop it in someone else's bin along the road.
Or just throw it on the recycle. Who cares?
I know, he's horrible.
So that is some local gossip going around.
Big stuff.
Big stuff. Truffle season this year. Some truffle talk. There's not a lot of truffles still. The rain and weather we've been getting lately does not help. Truffles are expensive. We've seen the truffle hunters kind of starting to peter out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the boar hunters have definitely stepped it up.
Yep, double down. We saw Franchino and crew. The other day it was like a Tuesday at, I don't know, 11. Maybe it was a little bit later after lunch, but it was definitely in the middle of the workday. And there was two squads out of boar hunters, all from Piobico. We're talking maybe a total of 35 guys. And I just thought, who the hell's working? Like, where do they just take off the afternoon if the weather's nice and they just all talk to work and say, hasn't been good so far. Weather's good. Tuesday afternoon, no one's coming in because we're hunting. I don't know how it works. I'm really curious.
I think, okay, here's how I think it goes.
What the hell? Some of those guys have to have jobs.
I would think so, but it was the one nice afternoon in between those two storms. So I think that it was like a Tuesday or a Monday. So I think it's like, all right, well, we'll work Saturday this week instead of, you know, Tuesday afternoon.
Is that just the luxury of being in a small town, then?
I think so, because it was a gorgeous afternoon, mm-hmm. and the sun was out and it just rained that morning and it was nice and it seemed like every
a
quarter of Piobico had yellow vests on and was tromping through the chomping through the forest with four wheel drive vehicles. What else struck me as funny this last? Oh, here's another funny one. So, our immigration is all sorted for the time being. Everything's cool. We got our new permission to stay. We're good for another 2 years. We will apply next year for our citizenship. Blah, 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 blah. However, there was confusion when we at the very beginning of the process, when we went and paid for it at the post office.
What? Confusion?
No, get out of here. Hold the
breath. Get out of here.
Anyway, we ended up paying about 100 euros more per person than we were supposed to because it wouldn't accept it.
It wouldn't process the request, and the only place to do it is at the post office. Yet the post office system was saying, no, the price has been raised.
Anyway, at the end of the day, we ended up having to pay too much. So when we went and picked up our cards at the police station, they said, you paid too much. You're going to get a refund. Talk to us after the 15th of October. So we waited till the 10th of November because I know Italy. And I go in there and it's such a hassle because you don't have an appointment and they're only open very certain hours, and then if they're done early with their appointments, they just close the door, even though the office is supposed to be open till 1:30. I went there at 12:15, and the door was closed. I had a bang on the door, so it's just a pain in the butt. So I hand him my stuff, and he looks at me and goes, ah, yeah, not yet. You're, yeah, 92 euros a piece. Okay. Yeah, check back with me in a little while. We'll see if you get the credit out. And it's like, I am chasing a phantom $200.
Oh, my God. It's not even worth it.
I don't know if it's worth it anymore. These are the things in it. How much is my life worth going up to Urbino every 2.5 months to – wait in line and go through this and know that it's going to take 2 trips because the first one I won't get.
We already tried once.
This is our second time trying. So Italy, baby, Italy. Phantom 200 euros. I knew as soon as he said that, we would never see that money back.
Yeah. See, you just got to roll with the punches, folks.
Yeah.
You can't try
it right on the chin and smile for more. It's awesome.
Hit me, baby.
Okay. Coming a little bit, big news in Italy for the government. Let's talk about Italy government.
Renzi.
We know. Okay. Let me preface
classic.
This. We are the least informed people about Italian politics that you could probably
tune into.
Yeah. I would say. I don't think there's. We just have this. I don't pay attention to it. I don't understand it. But regardless of my ignorance, there is something very big going to happen here in Italy on the 4th of December. There's going to be a big vote, and I'm going to read this straight up off Wikipedia because that's how we're going to do it. So there's going to be a constitutional referendum on Sunday, December 4th. Voters are going to be asked whether they approve the amend the Italian constitution and appoint powers of the Parliament of Italy, as well as partition the powers of state, regions, and administrative entities. Basically, what they want to do is take all these tiny, tiny local governments and combine some of them and move more power to Rome. So, for instance,
Piobico, Sant'Angelo, Apecchio
would become one government. So you, even though you live in, like now, if you live in Sant'Angelo, even though it's a tiny little village, you all the offices that you need for that you like are there. What they want to do is combine them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about under 10,000 people for those 3 towns we just made. So mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense. I don't know enough about what's going on. So they've only amended the constitution 3 times, and that was 2001 and 2006.
But they were saying, I think, something that the changes that are being proposed would be the greatest changes since in government since the change of monarchy here in Italy.
That is what I read on Wikipedia as well, mm-hmm. Ashley. And basically Renzi has said the prime minister of Italy, right? He said that if they strike this down, if this vote gets struck down, they'll dissolve the government and then have another election. Awesome. So we'll see. I don't know if that's great or not, but I know it's starting.
Well, that happens more times than the constitutional referendums. So
this is true.
Most likely, if we're betting, I'm putting my money on no confidence.
Yeah, I don't know how much Italians want to centralize power. They like to have their...
Well, when you talk to little small-time people out here, that is not the way they want to do it.
But it hasn't worked so far.
But what do I know?
What do we know? So that's what's going on in Italy. So keep a lookout on Monday the 5th to see what happens in Italy. Oh, what's going on? Oh, what else do we do? Oh, this is a good one. We have been, since we're all closed up, no more guests, it's time to start doing some projects in the kitchen that we can put up and that'll be ready later in the winter. So we've done 2 of them this year. Last year we failed miserably with our sauerkraut, our 50, 60 kilos of sauerkraut went in.
Pissed off Gaji using all the cabbage.
Went right into the old compost. Actually, I couldn't even put it in the compost because it had all the salt and stuff in it, and it would ruin my compost. I had to just like chuck it. This year we did kimchi, fermented South Korean cabbage, which was delicious.
So
I
good.
Talked about it last week with my girlfriend. It came out really well. We had some of it last night, and we're going to see if it's fermented enough and then stick it in the fridge today.
Gaji's disgusted.
Absolutely disgusted. I was okay, listen to how crazy this is. I've got 50 heads of cabbage in the garden of a variety of types.
And there's 2 of us and Gaji and his wife.
So between 4 people. I had to go out and buy cabbages because he absolutely forbid me from using the cabbage in the garden for any sort of unapproved recipes.
Exotic. He said he counted. That he was, if he saw the kimchi or krauty, he was going to go back down to the garden and count. And one or two heads missing was acceptable to eat, but he was.
He doesn't want to see Rose just chopped down. So
even know if he's going to eat. What is he going to eat all this cabbage?
He will eat that. He will dig it. Ash. He digs this. He digs the radicchio and the ensalata, the curly lettuce out of the snow and eats that. I mean, he'll eat everything. But sometimes you have to know when to put up a fight, and sometimes you have to know when to capitulate. And this is a time where cabbages right now are like 60 cents a head.
Oh my God. And those were humongous.
So listen, whatever. It's a prova anyway. And he's right.
So Jason had to buy 4 cabbages, even though his garden is freaking fall.
So I bought 4 giant cabbages to do the first try, and we'll see how it goes.
You're
and
a good
then,
boy.
And then if it, I think it went well. We'll see. I have to adjust my, I think it was a little too oniony. Like I couldn't find scallion. I had to find, check this out.
Oh God.
Finding ingredients for a South Korean dish in the center of Italy in the middle of nowhere. Not easy.
No.
Not easy at all. So that's going well. And also
That's going well.
I think it came out pretty good. Today's the day we'll check if it fermented properly, and then we stick in the fridge.
And you made some corned beef.
Actually it's pickled beef.
Or it's New England
style. So here, beef brisket or petto di, the breast of the veal is not a very prized cut. It costs absolutely nothing.
What do they do with it?
Skeletto. They use it for burrito. Use it for ragu. But it's not, like in the States, brisket or beef breast is expensive.
Yeah.
That's what you make corned beef. That's what they barbecue in Texas.
I always thought brisket was butt.
No.
Oh.
It's the breast.
Okay.
Anyway.
I believe you. I have no idea.
Everything's butt. Anyway, same thing with like baby back pork ribs. Super cheap here. It's insane. But anyway, so it's really easy to make brined beef. You just make a sugar, water, salt solution. Follow the recipe online. And then whatever herbs and spices and different things you want to throw in there, stick it in a big Ziploc bag, and we do it about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then turn it every day and boil it. I mean, it's really, really easy. Online, you will see you have to put salt nitrate in it. Get the hell out of here. You stop putting chemical shit in your food. When was the last time there was botulism? Just get good meat, follow the recipe, and it'll be fine. Jesus.
But you won't get that pretty pink color.
No, you don't get the pink color. It'll just be a gray, dull, brownish, grayish doll, but the taste will still be there, and it's real. You don't need to put chemicals to make sure it's good. Just make sure the meat is good, and that takes care of your problem.
It's one of these things that, oh my God, like porchetta is a whole nother world, and it gets the back of your, mouth and your saliva going, and your just taste buds are juicing up, and you're like, oh my God. But there's something about corned beef and pastrami that is so totally different. Reminds me of New York. And goddamn, it's
goddamn
with some good mustard and
no rye
with our
bread.
Cabbage and everything. It'll be delicious.
We don't have any rye bread, though.
Oh, speaking of New York, we were watching these old videos. We've been doing our big cleanup and found an old Hi-8 Hi-8
cassette. They're like these little tiny cassettes. Yeah. They were called Hi-8. Sony made like
recorder.
A little cam for 5 minutes, it seemed like, in the late 90s, right?
Uh-huh. And we were able to plug it in, and Gaji brought over this old VHS DVD player thing, and we were watching these old videos, and it was hysterical. And why I'm bringing it up, first of all, I loved it. And to see, it just brought back all these memories from 2000 and all of this. But what is really cool are for people who are out there who have old home videos or VHS and stuff, there's a really cool adapter you can get that I found that so it will transfer to your computer so you can have it as a digital copy.
So you take it from analog on the tape and you run it through the machine, this little device, it's to your little, computer.
Yeah.
On USB, right?
Yeah, like a little adapter thing. And then you can, like, what would you call that? Like a little adapter, plug adapter?
It looks like a little chunk of tiny plastic, like the remote control to the Apple. It's tiny. It's not.
It's just a little, like the size of a little iPod or something. And this will, yeah. It's a video capture your video on your Mac or PC. You can put it onto your iPad or phone. And this one's called Elgato, Elgato. And I think that's the one I'm going to get because it works with Mac. But they're like $80. But I think it's totally worth it because how else do you even watch these old videos?
One of my podcasts, they just had an advertisement for a service that you send the videos to and then they send it back.
I've heard of that too, but I feel like that is – if you have no other option or you're not savvy.
No, let's listen. Who's going to send all those – who's going to box up all those VHS tapes and send them?
Well, your grandma sent in old gold. Like you never know. So
leave my grandma alone.
But
watching, okay, a couple things from watching those tapes. One, the quality of tape video is horrendous. I cannot believe how bad it looked, like, just from the color to the grain to everything. And then I forgot how infuriating rewinding VHS or tapes are.
He was so upset. It took so long. And he's like, it's still going. I guess they didn't invest in power usage or battery usage for the rewinder. I don't know. He was going on and on about it. And it was cracking me up because, and then you would just hear, it's like still going.
But it was fun finding those. And that's a great brewing project you can do.
I know. I think this winter I'll put a bunch of them together. We found some of your brother playing baseball. He was in the, what was that called? The American Legion World Series. This was in Yakima. So it's just fun. I don't know. I'm a total cheeseball nostalgic nerd for that stuff. So I'll keep you posted. That's one hell of a project to go through all that stuff.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
I've got...
Oh, speaking of projects, I thought I would update our blog, No Half Measures, and freaking gave myself a week's or a month's worth of work reprogramming and re-uploading and all this stuff. But check it out, nhmblog.com, and you'll see a bunch of our videos. The films page looks really cool, and you can see it all by categories. You can check out our travels, a bunch of stuff. I'll be posting some autumn travels in Amsterdam and here in Italy. So check it out. It'll be good.
All right. I wanted to bring something up. I got in the last week or two, I've gotten a few emails from friends.
Oh, are we talking turkey?
Yeah.
Turkey tips. I wish we had like an intro for this or something.
mostly friends and families who are having people over for the holidays who don't do this all the time, and they wanted to ask me my advice. Okay.
So should we pretend like I'm asking you the questions?
No.
Jason.
No, stop
what
it.
Do I do?
Stop it. All right. Really, when you're hosting people for the holidays, there's three things you have to remember. The menu, the equipment that you have, and the timing, right? So menu and prep. Your menu you want to do as many things ahead of time as you possibly can. So what can you do to minimize your amount of prep once your guests get there, and how can you do things ahead that don't sacrifice quality? So when you write your menu, if you're going to do malt liquors, don't have a bunch of things that need to be done at the last minute, or things that everything, you know.
Think about your, well, this goes to your next one also. You have to think about your equipment when you're making your menu.
Well, that goes into my next one.
You only have one oven, possibly.
Your equipment. You only have one oven. You only have one refrigerator. So if you have everything that's done ahead of time, but you then don't have enough room in the refrigerator, you're in trouble. If you try to do everything out of your one oven and try to pack it up, it's going to affect the way things cook.
Remember that spreads in beautiful magazines and Food and Wine and Savour, those our food stylists. And it's meant to be all displayed all at once. These are in professional kitchens and things like that where they might have multiple ovens going. And some of these menus you might see might truly not even be possible in your own kitchen. Another thing to backtrack, because I know you like to talk about it, is for your menu planning, that an event like Thanksgiving when you're hosting people or Christmas is not the time to necessarily try out that new recipe you've been reading so much
that
about.
That is the number one thing that everyone wants to do, is try something out for the...
Oh, but I've been reading all
I
that.
Know. Okay, so great. You want to try something out? We're still a few weeks from the holidays. Do it once before you actually do it on the day. This way, you kind of get the gist of where you went wrong and think the adjustments you want to make. I never, ever, ever... do something the first time when I'm really going to serve it to people. I'll do it for Ashley and myself and then say, oh, all right. But I don't know why so many people who just don't cook a lot.
Your brother loves to say it too.
He loves to do that. And it's like, Zach, are you insane? You're having 12 people in a one-bedroom apartment and you have two working burners and a tiny oven and you want to try this.
And six dishes.
Yeah. It's like, so if you are in that kind of situation where you're in an apartment or you're in something – do things that can be done ahead of time, right?
And there's no, especially if you live in New York, we've done this, or anywhere with a small apartment and small space. Freaking, sometimes you have to bite the bullet, or it's not even a bullet. Freaking order the ham. Or, you know, like, save yourself the nightmare and the headache and do some of the things you enjoy. Maybe that's not your strongest point.
Or maybe you can't, you know, how am I going to do this?
You don't have the space.
I don't have the space in the oven for 8 hours for a turkey. Man, farm it out, seriously.
There's no shame.
And do everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, think practically. That's a great point. Don't do things for the first time. Stop and do it once before. So menu, what you can prep in your equipment. Be honest with that. And then as far as timing, this is the number one thing I get in cooking classes is we're doing 5 courses and how do you time it out? Well, it's easy if you think about it a little. Think about it. What time do we want to eat? All right, let's say we want to eat at 5 o'clock. In the afternoon. How long does a turkey take? Well, the turkey takes 6 hours and it has to rest for 1 hour.
Don't forget resting.
Big chunks of meat need to rest. So that's what I say, 6 and 1 is 7, right? So at 10 o'clock, the turkey needs to go into the oven.
Just stick with the turkey for a second. The turkey shouldn't go straight in to the oven from the fridge.
No, that's another thing. Giant mistake people always make is putting an ice cold giant piece of meat, whether it's a steak, roast beef, whatever, into a oven. You can't do that, guys. It has to be as close to room temperature as you could possibly get it. Now, that goes absolutely it's absolutely on the contrary of what they tell you, which is turkey must be in the temperature danger zone for no more than 2 hours at a time, and then you blah, blah. Okay, yes, that is true. I don't know. I leave mine out the night before.
I was going to say.
Mine. I do it all up. I don't add any salt to it. Obviously, I don't stuff it until the right before I'm going to put it in. But if you say you stuff your turkey and have everything cold, you have a giant freezing piece of solid whatever that'll never come up to temperature ever in the center. It'll take forever. So, you know, as close as safely can be to getting the whatever, whether it's a piece of ham or turkey or roast beef or whatever, to room temperature is the best way to go.
Well, and since we're talking about the timing and the turkey, stick with it. You brine it.
Yeah, I also brine turkeys. What does that mean? That means getting a big bucket and making a solution of basically what I'm doing with the corned beef.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar, salt, water. And then whatever the heck else you want to throw in there.
This is so good.
And you submerge the whole turkey in there a lot of people do this, for mm-hmm. a couple of days. Then you take it out. You can wash it if you want, or I just really drain it and pat it dry. And it makes it so that the breast doesn't get dried out. And the whole thing seems to just be much moister. Turkey by itself is pretty bland. I just made a piece of turkey, roasted turkey breast yesterday. It was like,
eh. No, it was destined for turkey chili. It was like, eh.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing. Very great. So try brining your turkey. But again, that takes up a lot of space. That's a lot of ahead of time kind of thing.
And doing the math, your timing. Now, if Thanksgiving's Thursday at 5 o'clock. You've now started your turkey on what, Tuesday?
Something like that.
So I'm just saying, like, timing, not only the day of,
so
but the
week. So if you're going to brine a turkey, you need 2 days in the brine, and then you need the night before to let it sit out. So remember, if you think you're going to make something, if the turkey is coming out 1 hour before you're eating, then how are you baking anything else in your oven?
Mm-hmm.
So the pies need to be baked the day before, whatever. You can reheat, something in there, but you're going to have 1 hour basically to do if you have one oven.
And talking about timing, you are a big person that, I was going to say you're a big fat person. that is classic. I never knew what the hell I was doing. I still don't really know. But I noticed that you start a lot of things and stop them and come back to them right at the moment.
Oh, that's great. That's a great point.
I never knew that would be possible. And you'll like cook something just to a certain point and then walk away. And you'll then now have an hour where maybe you could hang out with people and stuff. And then right before, you got to go back in and finish stuff off. How do you know what you can do that with?
So if you take like green beans, for example, you're going to serve a side dish of green beans. Well, no one says you can't blanch your green beans in boiling water and then shock them in cold water and then put them aside. So that saves you 5 minutes. What are you going to do them in? You're going to do them in, let's just say, garlic and olive oil. No one says you can't get the pan with the garlic and olive oil and the olive oil or the garlic kind of infused into the olive oil and then shut the pan off. So that's what I'm talking about, is doing as many things. So this way, when you go to serve everything, now you're just chucking the pan back on the heat, tossing the halfway cooked green beans into the pan, spritzing them with, lemon. I mean, we're going, whatever you're going to do. But things like that where you can think ahead of time, write your menu out, just put it on, no one puts it on piece of paper. Put it on piece of paper, put a whole to-do list, start a calendar. If you're not good with doing this, or you don't regularly cook for people, then as organized as you can be at the beginning will make it much easier at the end. Simpler is better. No one's going to complain if you make a really simple, beautiful dinner, but it comes out cooked properly versus trying to be fancy schmancy and it's just doesn't land.
How do you,
do you remember the 5 P's from Roger, from my flight instructor?
No. Plan?
No. Proper.
Proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
There you go.
Yeah. But now that totally made me forget. Because I was going to say something about soups, but I don't remember what.
All right, we've droned on enough. So enjoy the holidays. We probably won't be getting back to you before. We'll see.
I doubt it.
We never see, now that we don't make promises of when we're going to do this, it seems to be going
a little better. It's a little better, a little more consistent.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Ashley, tell everyone what to go check out and bring us home.
All right. You can find us at La Tavola Marche, LataVolaMarche, and that's our farm inn and cooking school. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at La Tavola Marche. You can find our consulting and filmmaking at No Half Measures NHM blog or nohalfmeasures.life on Facebook. And check out this April our consulting workshop on moving to Italy and starting a hospitality business.
It was
April
really
1st
weird.
Through 5th.
There was a bunch of inquiries that came in on Wednesday for that. That was weird.
I wonder why.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Have a great day, you guys.
Ciao.
Ciao.